The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, this is the Hard Shoulder. If you believe them, and we have to, right? We have to believe them. The weather folk believe that we'll hit 27 degrees in some places over the next 2 days. It's an extraordinary temperature after what was a bit of a kind of mad June and early July. I just don't think they were that great. Other people think they're perfectly in line with normal temperatures, but they didn't excite. So this weekend is the one. It is the one when it's time to get the ice cream, get the deck chair, the whole thing, go the whole nine yards. So let's talk about ice cream, because that is going to be the centrepiece of what most of us will be doing, particularly on Sunday and Monday. I think Saturday is a little bit more overcast. I'm going off hiking in the Cooley Mountains personally. You're all welcome to come along. I'm not sure about the ice cream part, the winds that you get in that part of the world, but nevertheless, our guest now to discuss the whole food ice cream thing, how much the Irish love their 99s, etc., is TV chef and mindful eating coach Aisling Larkin. She's back to look at what makes the 99 so irresistible to us and other types of ice cream. You don't have to order that one. Good evening, Aisling.
Hello, how are you? Yes, I am so ready for ice cream eating this weekend. It has been long awaited.
Yeah, well, let me go into the, because we've got gelato, we've got all sorts of different stuff, Ben and Jerry's, and well, all sorts of stuff to discuss, right? We've got a busy agenda to get through. But let's deal with the 99 first, because that's the Irish kind of standard ice cream out of a van, a big flake in it. Even the name sounds brilliant. What is it about that particular way of serving up ice cream that we just seem completely addicted to?
Yeah, we absolutely love it. I mean, ice cream, I think there was a recent study said that about 74% of us will indulge in an ice cream treat, you know, once a week during the summer. And as our nation's favourite, it is the cone. It is the 99. It comes from a lot of different reasons. It's a textural thing, I suppose, really. It's a memory thing. It's wrapped up in so many kind of positive memories. It's really, really lovely. There was an amazing study done actually back in 2015 that examined the addictive qualities of foods. And ice cream came up as our number two addictive food. Now, what they were looking at in this is that they wanted to prove that highly processed foods share these pharmacosynthetic.
That's not an easy word to get out.
It's not an easy word to say.
Take it slowly. We're here for you.
Basically, that it meant that ultimately what was happening was when we were eating foods like this, that they were triggering dopamine in our brain. They were firing up those sensors, those feel-good chemicals. And it was ultimately the sugar and the fat that was melting on our tongue, high-fat calorie foods like ice cream trigger this amazing sensation in our brain that makes us adore ice cream.
Okay, so that's the scientific reason for it. I thought it was something else, but yeah, you put the actual science behind it. Can I ask you about all the other ice creams? Gelato in particular seems to be happening. People obviously holiday a lot in Europe. We've a lot of people go to Italy. What do you make of that trend? Is it sort of squeezing out the more traditional ice cream?
No, not at all. If we go way, way, way back, we can track our ice cream trends like to Italy. So much of it is wrapped up in Italy. So I suppose if we go way back to the 12th and 14th century, we had Mesopotamia, we had, it started out as almost like sorbets or these slushy type iced kind of drinks, more even so than a food, I suppose. And it kind of progressed from a slushy kind of icy drink to a milkshakey drink to what we now have as our ice cream or our gelato. So way back, these drinks were served in kind of, you know, banquets, royal banquets, religious ceremonies. It was a very kind of cultural treat to have it. And then as time went on, people started to develop almost like sugar syrups to be able to sweeten up these kind of slushy ice drinks that we had. And then even in Palermo in Italy, they had a little patch where they grew 400 different types of flowers just so they could kind of, you know, distill them down and use the essences and the oils to flavor up what was traditionally starting out as kind of like an ice cream or a sorbet. Then we kind of progressed on 16th, 18th century. We're still on these kind of iced, slushy style drinks, and it moved from Italy. So it was very much in Italy. And it was actually an Italian architect who first kind of developed this gelato-based ice cream, which was your egg, your cream, your custard-based ice cream. And they kind of moved that Renaissance times, that kind of moved to the nobility over in Paris. And then we kind of keep looking 19th century, 20th century. It started to appear more on kind of, you know, fancy suppers, luncheon restaurants. It was even in a couple of haute cuisine cookbooks, these recipes for ice cream. So we were really adamant that we were getting ice cream to the masses and getting them to the public. And actually, there's a fabulous woman who's associated with this. She was an American called Nancy Johnson. And she was the first person to develop a machine that could, you know, make ice cream in a machine and that it would hold it frozen for a little while. And then she could get it to other people and last for a little while.
Okay, that was a big breakthrough, wasn't it? It's a big industrial moment. I'm just looking at some of my notes for this conversation with you. And I was kind of reading a paragraph going, surely not. There's actually a whole science technique and kind of, I suppose, folklore around how you do scoop ice cream. You don't just stick in a big spoon and put it in something. There's a whole thing about the angle. Like, tell me about scoop ice cream. I mean, I know what it is, but I didn't know that it was attended by all this ceremony. Am I missing something?
Well, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things, I suppose. And if you're not going for a 99 or a cone this weekend and you're getting a tub of ice cream at home or a carton of ice cream, a couple of top tips. We tend to kind of have dinner and then all of a sudden go, oh, let's have ice cream, let's have dessert. We take it out. We're quite impatient. We don't really want to wait for it to thaw. We want to eat it. It's a little bit too hard. It's too frozen. And if ice cream is too frozen, you can't actually appreciate and taste the flavors enough. So a couple of top tips for you this weekend. Number one, don't take out your ice cream, as a lot of people will do, and leave it sitting on the counter for 10 or 15 minutes. It goes too soft around the edges and it's too frozen in the middle. So take it out of the freezer and put it in the fridge to temper or
okay,
to defrost.
Okay, so gradual melting, defrosting. Yes. Yeah, that's the key thing.
Exactly. So you're trying to take it. So your freezer is about minus 15 degrees. You want to take it to about minus 4 degrees, which is actually the temperature like a cone or a soft serve is served at. And second of all, when you're scooping, the correct technical way to scoop is if you imagine you've got your carton of ice cream in front of you, you've got your ice cream scoop in hand. Imagine like the face of a clock. So you've got 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So scoop down from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, curving just around, lift the scoop out and repeat that motion one, two, three times. And then that's how you get this kind of densely packed.
This is like learning dance moves or something. This is like pure choreography. I feel I need to just kind of stand aside from the microphone and replicate this. So it really makes a difference. It's not just kind of, you know, silly kind of triviality around it. This really matters how you get this done.
If you want a beautiful scoop of ice cream in a bowl, yeah, definitely. And also make sure your ice cream scoop is wet. And a lot of the professionals will never use these kind of little fancy ones with the levers. They just prefer one metal scoop, little bit of sharp edges on it. And that's how you get your perfect
scoop. Okay, well, I know there's one island of stability in all of this sort of stuff is the cone, right? A cone is just a cone, right? It's just a cone. You just put your hands around it. There's nothing to it. There's nothing to discuss, right?
Yeah, wrong. There's a lot to discuss about a cone. There is so much history and science involved in a cone. So what's the difference between your scoop of ice cream and your cone? Your cone has more air. So a secret ingredient in ice cream that nobody kind of knows about is air. So we all kind of think, okay, we've got cream, we've got sugar, maybe some stabilizers, flavors, emulsifiers. But there's actually air whipped into ice cream, because if it didn't, it would be too solid. You'd break a tooth. So we have to whip air in. So scoop ice cream has to have less than 30% air. Whereas if you have your cones, they can have between 30 to 60% air in them. They tend to have less fat in them. And then a cone is served, like I said, at about minus 4 degrees Celsius. And the big invention, I guess, or how we got cones and how we got to Mr. Whippy and the ice cream vans and all of that, was the invention of a machine by two Italian brothers called the Carpegiani machine. So this was the massive invention back 1940s, 1950s. And this was what brought soft serve ice cream or soft whip cone ice cream to the masses.
Okay. I should not have asked about cones. I just did not realize, again, the complexity of these things. Now, I have to ask you, 99, it's one of those kind of pub quiz ones where it's like, where did the name come from originally? I understand it's not quite clear where it's come from. There are a few different explanations. Do you know any of them?
There's a lot of different anecdotes and a lot of different people are trying to claim who invented the 99. So there's one story from an ice cream shop owner called Stefano Arcoro, and he was based in Scotland, and the address of his shop was 99 Portobello High Street. And his granddaughter attests that he was the first one to put a flake in a scoop of ice cream in a cone, and that he was the first one to create the 99. Others will say that, again, it goes back to this Italian link with the ice cream, and that links to the Carpegiani machine, and basically that when the ice cream was being made, and the links to Italy, that the Italian monarchy had especially selected selection of guards. So he'd chosen 99 of the best guards. And then this number of 99 was subsequently associated with anything that was special, exclusive, first class. And this is why then you had your normal cones, but you had your cone with a flake. And this was then known as your 99 flake.
Ah, right. Okay. I'm always nervous that's going to come up on a pub quiz and I'll just be like, what? Why is 99? Why do they call that in the first place? I've already learned, I didn't know there was air in ice cream. I didn't know that cones had different sort of parts of the cone, etc. I did not know any of these things. And what will you be doing this weekend? So what's on your list to get out there and consume?
Oh, beach cone, ice cream cone. You know what though? I'm not a huge lover of a 99. I do love
After all this, you've ruined the illusion.
No, I love a cone. I love a cone. I'm just not so keen on the flake, but I do love a little bit of raspberry sauce on my cone.
Okay, right. And you're going to get Sunday and Monday. It sounds like it's going to be the melting temperature for ice cream is always kind of a little bit strange, but everyone underestimates. You leave it down for 2 seconds and there it is turned into mush. So be careful. I suppose the ones that are scooped out are a little bit more durable, aren't they? You get a few more minutes out of them.
Absolutely, you do, because they're coming from that minus 15 degrees Celsius, whereas your soft whip cone coming out of your machine is coming out at minus 4 degrees, and because there's more air in it, that's where it melts so quickly. So you've got to make sure you lick around the sides, don't let it drip too much. And then the big question is, yeah, are you going to eat your flake first, or do you leave your flake until the end and savor the ice cream first? This is the dilemma people
have. These are life's imponderables, aren't they? This is, you know, whole lives and existences can hang on such questions. All right, well, listen, good luck, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the ice cream, whatever you're doing. Aisling Larkin is a TV chef and she's a mindful eater coach, a regular guest on this program.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.